Welcome back to He Leadeth Me, a spiritual formation podcast for Focus staff, students, and friends. I'm Jessica, Focus's Manager of Spiritual Formation, and today I am joined by our head national chaplain, Father Kevin Dyer.
Good to be with you, Jess.
Always good to have you. So I wanted to invite you on the show today to talk about Lent, which is just around the corner. And I was thinking about when I was a student at St. Louis University, we were friends with this priest at the cathedral, me and my roommates and some other friends. And he emailed us one day and he gave us a plan for Lent. And there were practices in there that we were supposed to do. I can't remember if we asked him to do that or not, but I do remember that it was the most fruitful Lent I had ever had. I think he gave us three practices, like to grow in charity, we were supposed to pick someone and intercede for them every day during Lent. We had to spend an hour in silence, not doing nothing, but just in silence, not having music on while we were studying or whatever. And then we also had to volunteer at the Missionaries of Charity. And it was really fruitful for me, I think, because he picked good practices, but also simply because I had a plan for Lent. I feel like leading up to that point on Mardi Gras, day before Ash Wednesday, I would always be thinking, so what am I going to give up for Lent? And it's just so beneficial to have a plan. So with that in mind, I thought I would invite our head national chaplain on here to give us a plan for Lent.
You know, Jess, hearing you say Mardi Gras and Lent reminds me of one of my favorite Lenten penances that I've ever heard of.
Okay.
Which was also the most New Orleanian penance that I've ever heard. And it was a co-worker at Jesuit High School in New Orleans. One year he gave up coffee.
Oh, gosh.
And realized that that was a bad idea because
penance for everybody else.
Because everybody else had the penance. So the next year he came up with a better penance, which was the most New Orleanian penance I ever heard of. He gave up chicory coffee.
Oh.
And as a New Orleanian, he loved chicory coffee so much that just drinking the regular thin stuff gave him plenty enough penance. And also plenty caffeine.
Well, I love chicory coffee, so that is a good penance, especially if you're in Louisiana.
And, you know, giving up stuff is one of those things where, you know, we go through that time when we're kids where we just think about giving up something. And then there's like this next stage in life where we think that we're really sophisticated because we realize, well, just giving up candy isn't a big thing. You know, you really need to do something interiorly. And, you know, we make it a little bit more vague under the thought that, oh yeah, we really need to progress. But then we reach that next stage where we realize whenever we make it too vague, we end up taking it easy on ourselves.
Right.
And at a certain point, you have to make it specific.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you want to pay attention to the broader picture of your development as a person, your spiritual life. But you do have to keep it specific and try to hold yourself to something too.
Well, I also feel like every year there's an article on the internet or in the diocesan newspaper where somebody says, this year I'm not giving up anything for Lent. I'm adding something on. And I don't know about you, but that kind of drives me crazy. I mean, it is good to add things on, like more prayer or something in Lent, but it's really, really good to give things up. And I feel like that attitude comes more from the fact that we're Americans and we just don't want to give things up.
And we also think if we just do more things, that'll lead us to where we need to go.
Yeah, but so why do you think it's good to give something up for Lent? Where does that come from?
I think it comes from the fact that the human will is misdirected. And we all suffer from it. We suffer the effects of original sin and our own actual sin. And so we just desire the wrong things, or the right things in the wrong way or at the wrong time. And because we are so willful, we need to put a check on our will from time to time. Just to remind ourselves of that fact, to be careful. We always need to be checking ourselves saying, yeah, there's something that's pulling us away from God. I want to do whatever I can to stay true to God. That'd be my thought on it. I don't know. What do you think?
I think that makes a lot of sense. It's all about penance, which is sorrow for sin. Now, every year we hear about the three traditional things that you do to show sorrow for sin, which is prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Can you give us some good examples or suggestions of what we could do in those three categories this mm-hmm. Lent.
Yeah, sure. You know, in putting all of them into perspective, something I heard a few years ago, which I found helpful, looks at the entire liturgical season of Lent and then into Easter and compares it to Advent, Christmas. That the theme of Advent and Christmas is the liturgical year pointing us toward who Jesus is, being clear on his identity as fully God, fully man. Lent and Easter point us toward what he does, namely saving us from our sin. So I think that these Lenten practices taken together should point us toward what Jesus is doing in the world, in our lives, and fighting against sin. We're so tempted to think that big problem in our life is that, you know, so-and-so didn't love me, or this didn't go right for me, or, you know, these external things are the primary problem mm-hmm. in the world, when actually the primary problem in the world is my own sin.
Yeah.
And so, you know, all of these should take me away from sin, but also have that mirror side of leading me toward love. So mm-hmm. Jesus frees me from sin, but also frees me for loving God and loving neighbor. So I think that any of these practices are going to do that. You know, most of the people hearing this will be focused missionaries. So one thing to keep in mind right off the bat is that, you know, as missionaries, we already have a pattern of life, mm-hmm. regardless of whether it's Lent. And so that pattern of life is the baseline. We take that for granted. And so then anything that we do during Lent is something, you know, in addition to or an intensification of the normal pattern. Mm-hmm. So for instance, you know, fasting is not just, you know, I've been drinking too much lately and I really need to, you know, bring that down a bit. That's just being temperate. That's just, right. you know, practicing the virtue of temperance.
Right.
Fasting is saying, no, I'm going beyond what is temperate.
Well, you don't give up sin for Lent. You give up sin all the time.
You give up sin all the time. And so I think when we look at fasting, you know, obviously the first place we look at is in terms of eating. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's, you know, a good place to go to. You know, some people have questions because, you know, people have disordered relationships to food. And so some people will stay away from fasting in terms of eating. There's always the possibility, you know, even if maybe I've had issues with food in the past, of eating the same amount, but just eating something that's less tasty, mm-hmm. you know, putting less seasoning on food
yeah.
or, you know, something like that. That's always an option
yeah.
in terms of, you know, fasting. And, you know, fasting can take different forms. You don't have to have a, you know, a black fast of, you know, bread and water. You could do the traditional fast of just one full meal a day and then just two small snacks, you know, during the day without eating in between. That's a way of fasting. Or, you know, the traditional practice of fasting from a particular thing, which I like, and, you know, it's not bad in and of itself. So that fasting takes a variety of forms. And, of course, there's also the fasting away from food in terms of fasting from media, fasting mm-hmm. from, you know, Facebook or Instagram, things like that.
So just with food fasting, I know a lot of people will do the media fasts and everything else, and I think you should do those. But I think that everyone should do some kind of fasting involving food, unless, like you said, they have a negative relationship with food in the past. But that's not the case for most people. But I think as Americans, we're kind of obsessed with our own health. Mm. I mean, we carry our water bottles everywhere. Mm-hmm. I was talking with Father John Ignatius earlier today, who's from Argentina. And one of his jokes in Argentina is, how do you know an American? Because they carry their water bottle with them. We are not going to get dehydrated. There is water available wherever we go. And yet we're so concerned about our health that whenever fasting comes up, people think, well, I'm just going to be healthy. And that's going to be my form of fasting. Like, I think that people should actually do real fasting where they feel hungry. Like, maybe that is going without food until a certain time of day, like 1 o'clock in the afternoon or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah. But it's really good for people to feel that hunger because it makes them think of their own hunger for God. And when we're empty, we realize how much we need food and we are dependent on God to give us food each day.
Mm-hmm. I think that sounds very wise.
So is there something that you recommend for people with fasting, or is it more dependent on the person?
It's more dependent on the person. Yeah, mm-hmm. I can't say that there's any one thing that I recommend. Often a person will have an idea of, okay, this is something that I could do. But yeah, it kind of varies for each person.
How about fasting from other things? Are there things you'd recommend?
Well, I definitely think that fasting from media is the fast, so to speak, of the modern era. And because there's so many things tied up in it. First, just the waste of time that occurs. But secondly, the vanity that sneaks in that we don't even really notice, that you know, so many forms of media, and especially social media, are designed to shape our desires. Mm-hmm. They want to shape our desires, and stepping away allows us sometimes to see the way that our desires were being formed in ways that we didn't even realize at the time. Or, you know, the anger that can come with engaging in news too often. So, yeah, some form of media fast is very good. You know, in Focus, a lot of people have been doing, just throughout the year, a media fast from 8 to 8 on social media. So no social media from 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. And people have found a lot of good from that. But again, you know, notice how even in describing it, I'm really describing something that's leading you back to a virtuous point
mm-hmm.
where the spirit of Lent is taking that extra step, you know, where we really feel it, you know, out of sorrow for our sins and the sins of the world. It's worth thinking about that too, that we are being sorrowful and we're doing penance for our sins. But Jesus did all of this penance, and he had no sin.
Mm-hmm.
He was doing penance for the sin of the world. And I think that that's part of the Lenten journey too, is that Christ is inviting us into his work of penance for the sin of the world.
Yeah.
And so it is an act of charity in that regard.
Mm-hmm. You know, in regards to fasting from things other than food, one year, I encouraged my directees to fast from music, and I did it too. And the reason I did this is I read an article somewhere, and it said that modern young people would rather give up food than music. And I thought that was really interesting, how much we're constantly hearing music, whether you are at the dentist office, or you're driving in your car, or you're exercising. And so I told everyone, only listen to music if you can't avoid it, like you're at the dentist office,
mm-hmm.
or if somebody gives it to you as a gift. Because mm-hmm. I used to live with someone who played the violin, and sometimes she would play for us. And it just got me thinking that right now, if we want to hear a story, we can go on YouTube and hear a story. If we want to listen to music, we can listen to it whenever we want. But in past generations, you could only have those things if someone else gave it to you as a gift. And so it made me so much more grateful for music. And then when I finally got to hear music, it was at church. And then when we sang the Alleluia at Easter, I was so much more grateful for that gift of music.
That's really beautiful. And notice how what's going on in a fast like that is that it's allowing you to have more silence.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Jesus enters 40 days, 40 nights in the desert. Well, that must have been one quiet place. And it didn't destroy him. You know, there's good things that happen in silence. And so it can be an opportunity to enter into silence and see what good can be done there.
So that's fasting. But the church also recommends prayer and almsgiving. So let's talk about prayer. Do you have any recommendations for people to enter into prayer more deeply during Lent? Or are there themes that they should pray about?
Well, you know, what we were just talking about leads right into it. By creating silence in our life, we open ourselves up to prayer. Now, again, missionaries are already doing a holy hour.
theoretically an examination of conscience, but if there's one thing that seems to be the most difficult for all people, it is doing a daily examination of conscience. Everybody has great resolutions to do it, mm-hmm. and it is. It's a tough thing. And so it's just a good time to bring ourselves back to it and try again in terms of the daily examine. So in terms of prayer, again, I think it's good to make it specific. Mm-hmm. You know, whether I'm going to do an extra rosary or I'm going to do an extra chaplet of Divine Mercy, extra time in praying with Scripture. You know, it can be any number of things. It should just be specific. Mm-hmm. And related to prayer is, I would say, spiritual reading. And I'd say Lent is a good time to pick up some classic work of spirituality or classic work from the saints. You know, I've been talking to people who, for instance, have, picked up the Dialogues of St. Catherine and really gotten a lot out of going back to someone like St. Catherine. And the reason is that those great works of spirituality are normally going to lead us back to the unpopular truths that we need to hear. Mm-hmm. You know, in terms of, just love of God, love of neighbor, sacrifice. So they're the tried and true standards of spirituality. It's good to go back to them. One practice that can be good is to pick up the Imitation of Christ and just read one chapter a night. You know, they're nice, bite-sized pieces. It's a good thing to maybe put on your bedstand and read a chapter before going to bed. And, maybe spend a little time meditating upon what it has there. Something like that is a good practice.
Yeah, well, and the Imitation of Christ is especially effective because each of those little excerpts you can really easily make a practice for the next day out of. Mm-hmm. And I really like the idea of people taking the examine prayer as their Lenten prayer penance because you're right. We all have really good resolutions with that. We all really want to do it. And yet the daily practice of praying the examine prayer is something that we can often let fall by the wayside.
Yep.
So I encourage that. Mm-hmm. Now, the last thing that the church proposes is almsgiving. Why is almsgiving something that's traditional to do during Lent as a sign of your sorrow for sin?
Well, count the reasons. One, we just have to read the New Testament and we, see it all over the place of Jesus directing us toward almsgiving and throughout the tradition of Judaism and Christianity. And this is a practice that leads us to that double movement. One, denying ourselves. We think we need a lot more than we actually need. So it is good to give up some of that extra stuff. But then secondly, it opens us up specifically to the practice of charity, to loving another by giving of what's ours. St. Ignatius says it at the end of the spiritual exercises that love is a mutual sharing of goods. When you love someone, you share with them what is yours and likewise they from what is theirs. So, it leads us to the heart of the highest Christian virtue, that of charity. And it can really be the fulfillment of all of the Lenten practices. As you said, the 1 year you were all instructed to work at the Missionary of Charity soup kitchen. Okay, you're not giving money. You're giving your time, which we all know is, just as valuable for some people. But when people do a practice like that and are in contact with the poor, serving them, but then also just recognizing their humanity, you form communion with them. Mm-hmm. And really, if there's any mark of the Holy Spirit, we associate the Spirit with love, with, the union between the Father and the Son. Wherever the Holy Spirit is present, He creates communion amongst people. And it's a great test, to know, am I following the Holy Spirit in what I'm doing? Well, tell me, is what you're doing leading you to communion or disunity? That's a great test. And so almsgiving can be something that really leads us to an experience of communion with others. And in the gospel we see, you did it to the least of these, you did it to me.
Well, as you're speaking, it's just occurring to me that almsgiving kind of reminds me, at least, of the communal nature of sin, because my sin affects the entire body of Christ. And when I'm giving alms, that is putting something good back into the body of Christ that I've harmed through my sin.
Yeah, no, makes a lot of sense.
Now, can you explain for us the difference between tithing and almsgiving?
Well, tithing is basically, going back to the point we made before, there are certain practices that are just expected as a baseline for standard Catholic living. So tithing would be, consider that, a basic practice of Catholic living. And so almsgiving would go a step further. It's giving something extra from, from the baseline level.
So we've talked about prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, these three categories that people can make a plan for Lent through. Is there anything else that you would recommend?
Well, I just, I would return people back to what we started with, that this is a season where we are attentive to what Jesus does. So Lent is not, a program for self-improvement. And if we made it that, good enough, not bad. Mm-hmm. Discipline is a good thing. But we would be missing so much of what Lent could be. All of these practices are simply to open us up to what God is doing. And so hopefully Lent, and through that Easter, focuses our attention on Jesus and not on self.
I think that really gets to the heart of it. Because so often, if you make a really big plan for Lent, and it's all about your own self-improvement, even if you're going to grow in virtue and all of those other things, you can subtly not realize that you've made Lent all about you. Mm-hmm. And these things aren't about becoming a perfect version of yourself so that Jesus doesn't have anything to forgive you for. But it's about having sorrow for our sin and looking toward Jesus and realizing what he has done for us and the incredible gift of his death and resurrection.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, Father, I have one more question for you, which I think is one of the most common questions during Lent. Perhaps a little bit of an explosive question in some circles.
Here we go.
Do Sundays count?
Oh, gosh.
I have a strong opinion.
You have a strong opinion?
What do you think it is?
I can guess. Maybe we have different opinions on this one, though.
Okay.
I don't count Sundays.
Okay.
I don't count Sundays.
So do you engage in what you gave up on Sundays?
That's a good question. Do I? Some I do and some I don't. It kind of depends.
That's actually the same as me. But when people are asking, do Sundays count? I think what they are asking is, do I still have to give up the thing that I gave up on Sunday? And so let's look at the motivation behind this question and why they would think that it wouldn't count.
Okay.
Well, so do Sundays count as being during Lent? Well, technically, no, because there's 40 days of Lent, but we celebrate it for 46 days. We're taking out the Sundays.
Yep.
And yet, in the liturgy, this is clearly a Sunday during Lent. Mm-hmm. So it's part of the Lenten season, and the priest is still wearing purple. Mm-hmm. So we're still doing penance. We're still not singing the Alleluia. So to me, that says Sundays do count, but we're still celebrating the resurrection. Mm-hmm. So for me, I don't engage in what I gave up during Lent, but I perform daily fasting. So on Sundays, I'll eat more. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll have a dessert. And on the solemnities during Lent, I party. Mm-hmm. I have desserts and things. Mm-hmm. But I think that it's important to continue some of your practices. You don't want to say, oh, it's Sunday, now I don't have to do my prayer practice, because that's not getting at the heart of gratitude that Lent is supposed to be bringing you towards.
Yeah.
And it becomes all about, oh, I'm so glad this is over.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to celebrate the Sundays as if, you get a little Easter in the midst of Lent.
Yeah, well, I would encourage people, don't do as much of fasting on Sundays. If you gave up meat, I'd recommend still giving up meat, but eat three meals a day. Mm-hmm. If you took on certain prayer practices, I would say continue those prayer practices and continue to give alms, but make Sundays a little bit more celebratory, because even in the midst of Lent, we are still celebrating the fact that Jesus rose from the dead.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Any other comments about people entering into this season of Lent?
No, I think we hit all the points. Sounds good.
Very good. Well, could you close us in a blessing?
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God Almighty, Father, we give you thanks and praise for your goodness. We give you thanks and praise for that great history by which you have saved the world and reach out to save us. We ask, Lord, as we enter this season of Lent, that your Holy Spirit might guide us to enter into it worthily, that we might keep your Son, Jesus Christ, at the center of our hearts, that we might be led through sorrow for our sins to a true humility, that humility which is fruitful, that humility which allows Jesus to live within us. And may God, the Almighty Father, bless all of you with his Son and in the Spirit, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thanks, everyone, for listening, and happy Lent.